Pastor had a difficult time saying Austin, Texas today. But when you're a Sooner fan like Pastor and I, it is pretty difficult to say Austin. So Gene and I are going to move just down the road a little ways so we can be with our kids and our grandkids and share with them. Family's good, so no, we're not moving far away. And y'all pray for me. I'm going to put my crimson and white cap and T-shirt on, and I'm going to go down 6th Street in Austin. Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor, thank you. Thank you so much for the honor of being here. We're going to pray right now. Let's pray. Just take hands with somebody. Father, we're just so thankful and grateful for all that you've done for us and meant to us. We pray your will be done here this morning. Your will be done in us corporately, collectively, and your will be done in us individually. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us ears to hear your word. Give us eyes to see and give us hearts to receive. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, well, let's give the Lord a shout. Can we do it? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you may be seated. I do want to congratulate Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols, because this month, I don't know what the official date is, but this month they are celebrating 49 years as the pastor of this great church. 49 years. I said 49 years. And I told Pastor Bob Nichols that he would be Gene and I's pastor the rest of our lives. And if I go before he does, he'll preach my funeral right here in this church. And I hope you show up. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in this place. And those people that are on my mailing list and Twitter and Facebook, I'm just telling them about the revival going on, all the people being saved in this house. In fact, the last 2 weeks I've been in Baytown, Texas, down south, with some of my spiritual grandkids, the four-time Grammy-nominated Leland Band, and we've just been having great revival. And so on Monday night, I got Charlie Pryor on the phone, and he began to share what God was doing here, and then he began to share his testimony, and the glory of God just broke loose. And my grandson Leland, he was on his face before God, weeping, wailing like a baby. People were coming to God, and just revival just really broke out last Monday night in Baytown, Texas. And so they're bringing a whole crew up to Fort Worth in a few days to go out soul winning. And so I believe it's happening. Hallelujah. And I'm excited. I'm very excited. And so I'm excited about what God is doing. These are the days of revival. And I really appreciate many of you who are praying with me daily. God spoke to me to mobilize 1 million people to pray for revival in America. And if you're not praying with me each morning, that 60-second prayer, you can by going to www.letspraymerica.com. Letspraymerica.com. So these are the days of revival. And this is, I heard the Holy Ghost say to me the first week in, Gene, I've had some incredible meetings this year. And we've been on the road a lot. But I heard the Holy Ghost say to me the first week we were in California near Fresno, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this 2013 is the year of the big. The year of the big. And so the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go get you a big Bible. And when people ask why you're carrying a big Bible, you can tell them, the Lord said, it's the year of the big. And so the Lord spoke to me that on a Friday night. And then the Lord also gave me an addendum. He said to me, and tell them about Luke 8:17. And many of you have heard me mention Luke 8:17, that if you lose anything and you can't find it, we'll just go to Luke 8:17 and begin to quote the word. So Gina, over the years, we have lost things and we have found them by simply speaking Luke 8:17. Now, I did not know at that moment on that Friday night what the big Bible and Luke 8:17 had to do with each other. But after the service, a woman came up to me and said, give me that scripture again, because she said about 6 months ago, I lost my wedding ring. And I've been searching everywhere. I've turned the house upside down, and I cannot find my wedding ring anywhere. So I gave her the scripture. And so she told me the next morning that she went that night. When I said big Bible, she said I had a big Bible, and I brought it to the service this morning. And when I had her to open her Bible, you know the rest of the story. There was her wedding ring in her big Bible. Hallelujah. And about the third or fourth week in January, I went to Tulsa to minister. And as far as I knew, I left a book of that I've carried around for years and years. And I've just got me a neat machine now to save all those. But I was carrying around all kinds of testimonies and prophetic words that I've given have came to pass. And it was just an invaluable blue book. And I left it there, as far as I knew, in the hotel. And I called, and they said, we can't find it. I kept saying, you've got to find it. I mean, I wouldn't take $5,000 for this blue book of notes and illustrations and prophetic words that God has given me. I should have made a copy, but they could not find it anywhere. But Gene and I just kept speaking Luke 8:17, Luke 8:17. And yesterday morning, I was looking in my credenza back at the back, and there was my blue book. Now, many of you have known me because I've been ministering this church since 1988. I'm not given to mysticism, but I believe that an angel of the Lord transported that blue book, because I wouldn't have put it in the back of a credenza. I mean, I kept it in my briefcase and carried it with me. There it was. I believe that an angel of the Lord transported so that in response to Luke 8:17. So I'm declaring the word works today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Well, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to... Gene and I are going to move down the road a little ways, and we'll miss living close, and we'll miss being close to our pastor and our church family and all of you. We'll miss watching Calvary's own Adrienne Banker, watching her each morning on television. I saw Adrienne a while ago, our favorite newscaster of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We'll miss being close, but I'm telling you, you're not going to get rid of us that easily. We're going to be, I told Pastor, we can be here pretty quickly. Just come right up Interstate 35. Okay. I have some very interesting conversations, and, a few weeks ago I had lunch with a very close friend of mine, a man that's been my friend for about 30 years. His name is David Shibley. And David has a ministry called Global Advance, and he lives in Rockwall. And he and I used to work together in a church there years ago in Rockwall. And I had lunch with David, and he gave me a copy of his new book entitled Great for God. And I mentioned this book, I think several weeks ago when I was here, but I've been reading on this book, Great for God. And David, of course, has been my friend for a long time. He was sharing with me a prophetic word I'd given him years ago concerning a divine entrance into the Southern Baptist denomination. And he just told me about that, what God was doing and how God has given him major interest there. And I rejoiced with him. And then I took the book and I began to read this book entitled Great for God. And I read about men like Bill Bright, who was born in Coweta, Oklahoma, who founded the world's largest ministry campus, Crusade for Christ, which now reaches into 191 nations of the world, starting on college campuses by declaring, "Win the campus for Christ today, win the world to Christ tomorrow." He began. And during his lifetime, Bill Bright gave himself to his God assignments and continued even when his health declined. During the last 2 years of his life, he was involved in over 80 ministry projects, even though he was on an oxygen tank most of the time. During his lifetime, he started a ministry that now has 28,000 full-time employees and 225,000 trained volunteers. His little book, Four Spiritual Laws, which I know most of you know about, has been distributed to 4.5 billion people. His Jesus film has been distributed in over 1,100 languages and viewed by an estimated 200 million people. Bill Bright, a man great for God. He died when he was 80, but when he was 78, was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis, a breathing disorder, but he refused to quit. Bill Bright was a man great for God. In David Shibley's book, he writes about David Livingston, born in Scotland, 1813. By the age of 10, he was working in a textile mill up to 13 hours a day, would study at night, and eventually completed medical school. One night, he heard his future father-in-law speak of going to Africa and seeing the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been. Shortly thereafter, David Livingston, who became qualified to be a medical missionary, set sail for Africa. Over the years, he recruited young men and women to serve in Africa. On his final journey, history says that he did not see another white man for 7 years. Since he had not been heard from in several years, they presumed that he was dead. Britain finally sent a man to search for him. He finally found David Livingston alive and told him that he was now famous in England because of his books and that he needed to return to Britain right away. But he would not leave his assignment in Africa. Even though he was very ill, could go back home and receive medical treatment, he refused to leave, declaring that he would live and die in Africa. At 60 years of age, his African helpers found him dead, kneeling beside his bed in a prayer posture. Before his death, Livingston had instructed his helpers to remove his heart from his body and bury it in Africa. His remains were to be shipped back to England. David Livingston, a man great for God. There are several others that David Shibley wrote about that I don't have time to tell about this morning. Many women like Amy Carmichael, who were great for God. But you know, in my lifetime, I have known several men that were great for God. My father, O.C. Gentry, who entered the ministry, was called to preach when he was 40 years old and finally received his 50-year pen. My sister found it the other day, said, "Dale, I found Dad's pen. I'm shipping it to you," for his 50 years of service to the Assemblies of God in ministry. And my dad answered a call when he was over 40 years old, and I was a little boy, to go to a little town, southwest Oklahoma, to start a church in the living room of our home. And I saw my dad being faithful to God, serving God, starting that church, pastoring other churches. And even in his latter years, as he approached the age of 90, my dad had regular ministries in prisons and jails. And he carried around with him the names of over 400 men that he had won in prison services. And my dad gave his life for the cause of Christ. And everywhere he went, he would ask people if they knew Jesus. He was a soul winner. My mutual friend and pastor, Tom Peters, in Florida, he came and we went on a roots trip. And I showed him where I grew up and all the things. And we went to visit my dad. And I said to Tom Peters, now, before we leave, even though he knows you a pastor, he'll try to get you right with God. He'll try to win you to Jesus. And on the front porch of that little house in Marlow, Oklahoma, he said to Pastor Tom Peters, now, are you sure that you know Jesus? Are you sure that if you would die today, that you would go to heaven? And he was wanting to lead that man that has several thousand in his church through a sinner's prayer. O.C. Gentry, the original O.C., a man great for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My spiritual father, B.B. Hankins, was a man great for God. He pastored in a small town in South Texas for over 40 years. The last months of his life, preaching to his congregation from a wheelchair, his body racked with pain from diabetes. He spent his life raising up spiritual sons, sending missionaries around the world, a man of great faith, a man great for God. And there is a man that I listed in my great for God list today who is present this morning, and that is my pastor, Bob Nichols, a man that I consider, and when I preach this sermon, I tell the people about him, a man great for God. Bob Nichols is a man of great faith. I met Bob Nichols in 1988 when we both were on the plane to go minister in the nation of Haiti. And there we allowed the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. God bonded us together. 2 months later, I came to this church in 1988 and began to minister here. And the thing that I can say about Bob Nichols, because I believe that we need to celebrate people, and I'm celebrating their 49 years of ministry here in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And knowing Bob and Joy Nichols, they never want the credit to go to them. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take time to celebrate people. Huh? I'm celebrating God all the time, but we need to celebrate God's servants. And so I'm not ashamed to do that. Hallelujah. And so in their 49 years of serving this house, I'm so thankful that they're my pastors. I'm so thankful to call Bob Nichols my friend and a great man for God. And, you know, he's a man of faith, but even more than that, he's a man of character. I'm thankful that my pastor's never had a scandal on him, his wife. I'm thankful that they've kept themselves clean and pure and right before God. They've operated with integrity. That means a lot in these days, in the days of a scandal-ridden church world. And, you know, this man and his wife started, along with their daughter Susan, they started in a small post office building in 1964 on Berry Street. 10 years later, they moved to that small congregation to a 2,000-seat auditorium in downtown Fort Worth, a gigantic move of faith. Not knowing actually how they would pay for that facility, but over the years, he started ministries and outreaches that would never pay for themselves, and in the natural would be a financial drain on the church, and would put an extra stress on he and his family. But a man great for God started a Christian school, a Bible school, a 24-hour prayer ministry, television ministry, had a radio ministry, an outreach ministry called Stitches, a prison ministry, bus ministry, radical outreach ministry, youth ministry, television ministry, single adult ministry, and it goes on and on. Sickness tried to stop him. Surgeries tried to stop him. A tornado tried to stop him. A fire tried to stop him. his life being threatened in a foreign country in Africa tried to stop him. Persecution tried to stop him. People that he thought loved and really cared for him left. That tried to stop him. But he was a man great for God that could not be stopped. Because the spirit of faith abides in him. And because he could not be stopped, other men and women of God have surrounded him with prayers, and he's been encouragement to all of us to continue. At a time when he might have been able to have stepped aside and maybe to have enjoyed some things that maybe he's not taken time to enjoy, that's not who he is. He's Bob Nichols, a man of faith, a man that does not quit, a man of great vision, a man of great passion, and a man who's an example to us all, a man great for God. And I was thinking the other day, what common denominators is it? I mean, what ingredients goes into a person who wants to be great for God? And is it really proper for a man or a woman to want to be great for God? You know, I was reading from the book of Mark just this week, where James and John came to Jesus and said, we want you to grant a request. And he said, well, what do you want? They said, we want to sit on one side of you and on the other. We both want to sit on the side of you. Now, immediately, the other disciples, they were quite incensed. They were quite aggravated. But Jesus did not rebuke the two disciples, James and John, for wanting to be great. But he did give the requirements for being great. Now, these requirements would certainly go against the grain in the secular world. Because there's a lot of people that want to be great. They want to be a great singer. They want to be a great musician. They want to be a great actor. They want to be a great entertainer. They want to be a great politician. They want to be a great scientist. But really, we don't have very many people declaring, I want to be great for God. And people that want to be great for themselves, they want to be great. They want personal recognition. They want entitlements. You know, Gene and I moved here in 1994 because the revival just broke out in April of 94. And so finally, Pastor and Joey met us and said, why don't you just move here, continue on with the revival? So I went to my pastor in Oklahoma City and I said, would you release me to move, Gene and I, to move to Oklahoma City? But when I got here after a while, I felt like, hey, you know, I've left all that stuff, all the things, and I've gotten here. So I just told the pastor, I said, you know what? What guarantees do I have here? And I mean, what do I have, some ownership here? And I look back and think about my conversation. There's only one word that I can think about to describe that conversation, and the word is stupid. And so, Pastor, with all of his wisdom, you know, his response was, well, Dale, I've given you a key to my office. I mean, what more would you ask for? So, you know, I thought about that, prayed about it, and the Holy Ghost convicted me that, you know, you did not come here for a title. You did not come here for a contract or a guarantee of how long you would get to live here, or what he would do for you, or the position he would give you, or the ownership that you're wanting. That's not what you came here for. You came here to do what he is doing. And what he is doing is what makes a person great for God. For Jesus said to all the disciples, he was not trying to bring division, but when he answered James and John, he did not criticize them for wanting to be great for God. He said, if you want to be great, here's how you do it. You must be a servant of all. For Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And one of the greatest problems we have in the church today is entitlements, or people wanting to have some type of entourage. I know somebody when I came in told me to give it to you straight today. So I'm just going to do it. But I get amused at some of these ministers that have entourages going around with them. Huh? Big entourages. And all this promotion that goes on, all their names that are mentioned. Stay there. Well, time is moving on and we got to have lunch, Star. And so we have this concept of greatness. I want to be great. I want to be mentioned. I want everybody to know my name. I want everybody to know who I am. I want to make sure they call me Dr. Bob Nichols. Really is Dr. Bob Nichols, but I've not heard anybody lately go around or him saying, now, when you call my name, call me Dr. Nichols. And what am I saying? I'm saying that we can be great for God, but if you want to be great for God, you must be willing to sit at the foot of the table. You must be willing to take a back seat, and you must be willing to serve. And some people think, well, if I'm going to be great for God, I've got to be a pastor, or I've got to be an evangelist, or I've got to be a televangelist, or I've got to be a great author, or I've got to have been saved for a long time. No. Anybody can be great for God if you're willing to serve. I've got a spiritual son. Gina and I were just out in Concord, California, near Oakland, just 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the pastor of that church now has over 1,000 people in the church. But he started out, I was thinking about today when I saw the buses, Jeff started out, somebody knocked on his door. His mother, an alcoholic, his dad was gone. Raised in the Catholic Church, did not know anything about the Holy Spirit, did not know anything about religion. But somebody knocked on his door and said, do you have anybody here that would like to ride our bus tomorrow? She said, well, I got two twin sons. Maybe they'd like to go. And Jeff and his brother, they got on the bus and went to the church and got saved. And before long, little Jeff was a bus captain. He was bringing people in. He finished his high school days in that church, he and his brother, his mother not coming, but them getting on the bus and coming. Then he went off to Bible school and graduated from Bible school. He came back, became the assistant youth pastor of the church. And then he became the youth pastor. And that's where he was in 1986 when I found him. And I prophesied one day. And today, Jeff Kinney is the senior pastor of that great church. Started the church on the bus, and now he's the senior pastor. He just stayed there, and all those years he was serving, saying to the pastor, what can I help you do? How can I help you? And the people in the kingdom of God that are great are not necessarily the people that has a title or a certain position or certain recognition or certain entitlements, but they are a people who are willing to serve whatever you need. And Jean and I had our offices in the church, in this church, in the building downtown for 4 years. And I can never remember a day that went by that my pastor did not say to me, "Dale, is there anything I can do for you?" And everybody that is great for God does not necessarily have great recognition in this life. But I was reading today from the book of Hebrews. And what more shall I say, for the time would fail to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Great for God. Great for God. So I want to be great for God. I want to be great for God. I want to finish strong. I don't want to finish bitter. I don't want to finish disappointed. I only have one life to live, and I want to give that life for the cause of Christ. And even if I would have to, I'm not expected to, but even I would have to preach from a wheelchair, so be it. Even if somebody has to help me up on the platform, so be it. I want to give my life for the cause of Christ. Because I only have one life to live. And I want to serve. I want to be a servant. I want to serve the body of Christ. I want to serve my family. I want to serve my God. And there is no limit to what you can do in life if you are willing to serve and say, "What can I do for you?" I want us to stand and pray a little while this morning. Father, I'm so thankful for life today. Gene and I are so thankful for the 52 years, our 52 years of marriage, our 46 years of full-time ministry. We're so thankful for your goodness and your mercy. We're so thankful today for this church. Thankful for my pastor and his wife. He's never changed his message. Never changed his personality. Never bragged on himself. Lord, you said we're to give honor to whom honor is due. I pledge myself, Gene and I, to serve this man and woman. Even though we're going to live a little farther away, we pledge ourselves to continue to serve them in any way we can. However long it takes to get here from 190 miles away, we'll do that. And serve this church and serve this congregation and serve your kingdom, Lord. We just want to be great for God, but we can't be unless we serve. you know, maybe it's not even noon. Maybe we can just pray together a little while. Could we do that? Would you like to just come? And you know how much I love to pray. Could we just come? Because as the Holy Ghost is speaking to us, we just come. Just if you want to, you don't have to, but just gather close and let's pray for a few minutes. Not even noontime. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about something today, this would just be a good time to talk to God about it. This would be a good time to talk to God about it. If there's something you need to say to the Lord, why don't you just say it now? Confession is made with the mouth. There's something about the words of your mouth. Maybe you want to make a shift. Maybe you need to make an adjustment this morning concerning life and what you're living for. And maybe you'd like to talk to God. So Father, speak to us today about what we need to say concerning our life, maybe where we've been this far, maybe our attitudes even today. Maybe we've been struggling for all the wrong causes. Maybe we've been trying to get other people's attention for all the wrong reasons. Whatever that might be, Lord, speak to us today. Well, there's no condemnation. But Holy Ghost, you're able to make proper, ordinate adjustments in our lives this morning. We just want to give you an opportunity to do that. So I'll quit talking so you can talk. Lord, speak to us today. Ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive. Speak to us today. Anything we need to say to you today about being a servant, having a servant's heart, Lord, let us say it now because you're listening. You're listening today. All of these men, great for God, had one commonality. That was, they were servants of all. Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant. I don't want to be a positional man or woman. I want to be a servant. I'm not searching for entitlements or titles. I want to be a servant. I'm not looking for people to do something for me. I'm looking for people that I can serve. I'm looking for opportunities, not just for promotion, but I'm looking for opportunities to serve. And it's God that does the promoting. Lord, forgive us for self-promotion. Because you clearly state promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Promotion comes from you, God. Lord, forgive us for struggling. Forgive us for striving. Forgive us for expending all of our energies trying to make something happen for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Here I am, a servant. Servant, a servant, a servant, a servant. Lord, I don't want to be a servant. I want to be great for God. But I must be willing to serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe the pressure is being taken off of some of you people. Doesn't mean you don't need to do things with excellence. Doesn't mean that you don't need to prepare for what you're believing God for. But the pathway is servanthood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want to lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant. I want to be great for God. I want to be great for God. What did God say to Abraham? What did he say to Abraham? I'm going to read it here in just a moment. Here's what he said. He said, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I'm going to make you great. But here's, now what? Listen to this. And you shall be a blessing. Huh? I'm going to make you great, Kathy, so you can be a blessing. Huh? I'm going to make you great, Robert, so you can be a blessing. That's the way it works. I'm going to make you great, but the reason I'm making you great is so you can be a blessing. Huh? I'm going to be a blessing. Huh? I'm going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a blessing. And so I know we have a great example to follow, our pastor, Bob Nichols, whom I congratulate, he and his wife, Joy, for their 49 years this month of ministry. Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Can we do it? Okay, Pastor.